This is a production of Cornell University.
EA lunch and meeting with Mary Opperman, January
10th, 2007.
Childcare Center is in conceptual design right now. It goes to the internal approval group at conceptual design next Monday, and then to the Board of Trustees for conceptual approach design approval on Thursday. Once those the concept approvals have been given, then we move forward with the community to get the necessary licensing to place it. And assuming that that actually happens, then we would be building for an opening in 2008. It's a beautiful design. It's called a village. So it's sort of different levels of roofing over a semicircle, kind of a horseshoe look, with the infants over here and the toddlers here and the preschoolers on the second floor on that side. It's got a lot of glass and it's quite nice. Mm-hmm. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. The place we want to put it is called a gateway area, which means that it has to be designed for the fact that it's one of the buildings you see first as you come into Cornell. So there's standards that have to be met, and also we want to meet the green standards, so that adds to the cost. So it's I never thought it would cost this much, but needless to say. It's just stunning to me. I keep thinking, really? Because I think I can build it for like a quarter of that amount.
And you think it's like building a house or something.
Yeah.
No.
So we still have a long way to go. You probably read in the newspaper that Human Ecology chose to close its early childhood center. Not something that we were happy about. But the School of Home Economics had an early childhood program. And they ended that program many, many years ago now. And the Early Childhood Center is a vestige, actually, of the old academic program. And they've held on to it for quite some time. And we're actually really good about it. But with Martha Vann undergoing its renovations and the new Martha Vann being rebuilt, when they added up all of their academic needs, they felt that they couldn't keep the center there for us anymore. They only have about 2 faculty members doing observational research. So we did ask them if they would consider, if we paid, if they would consider having a satellite center there, but in the end, it was about the space, and they just felt they couldn't. So they're going to keep it open until the new center opens, but there's a hue and cry from the alums of ECC, and I don't really blame them. The best message I can ask you to pass on, if people ask, is it has nothing to do with the child care center. We were building the child care center with the expectation that the ECC was remaining open. We didn't know that they were going to close it. So we had always said, and I was just talking to Donna, that we didn't think one center would be enough. We still don't think one center will be enough. But we had thought, we had 30 more spots, and it looks like we're now going to have. So.
Center bigger than the ECC?
Oh, yeah. The ECC is just a preschool. It has 30. The new center will have over 150 children, many of whom will be infant and toddlers. So it was, it was an academic decision, and I understand that they have limited space, but it's a disappointment. So
It's poor timing.
Yeah. It really is.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And to their credit, even though I keep saying to them, please stop referring to the new summer, because then it connects in people's minds. Mm-hmm. This beautiful little center that I had for my kids is closing, and this big corporate center is opening. To human ecology, they have to connect them, because they are actually paying for us to replicate some observational opportunities in the Bright Horizons, because they do have some faculty that do some observational research. So that's why, so when they connected, it's for the academic part, but to the parents, they hear it as a trade-off. Mm-hmm. And of course, that wasn't in our minds at all. And we were very willing to take over the center, just have, if they want to do observational research there, they didn't have to, but we really wanted to keep our space there because it's right on campus. But, and they tried.
So this child care center that has about 150 spots, does everybody know like about it and where it's supposed to be located? And do you guys know?
We talked about it.
Yeah, I thought we did too. It's right on the edge kind of a lot, and so maybe you can describe that better than I.
It doesn't affect the sliding slope.
Right. It's not
that
people can still
laugh
there and play
frisbee. No, it does affect the frisbee.
Oh, sorry, I
shouldn't have done that. Make my eyes twitch. Yes, we've heard from the frisbee players, we've heard from the neighbors, we've heard from the A-Lot people, because we'll probably be taking about 10 spots for parking.
Yeah, 10 spots for parking for a child care center.
For 154 children.
Because our point was, why use more green space? It's just drop-offs that the teachers can park in a lot. They can, or they can park in those spots. Not that many teachers. So I don't know. That's turning into a way bigger issue because a lot's so packed, you know. So I don't know what we're going to do about that, but. I guess if we just, we were trying not to take more of that green space if we didn't have to, you know, but.
Yeah, I mean, from a facilities perspective, I think that this project has done, like, everything it could to not take too much green space and not take too many parking spaces. So, you guys think it's great.
It's a beautiful design. It's called the Villages, and so it's a really nice design. They just have done one rendition, but when they do the other, assuming it's, I don't want to show it to a lot of people in case the buildings and properties people hate it, but assuming it does get passed, I'll bring you a copy, a picture of it, because it's really nice, and I think people will feel really good when they see it. It's really a nice design, so that's one thing. The
second one that you're thinking about?
Well, Steve Golding and I have been talking about once the East Hill complex gets built over at East Hill, we'd like to put another center actually there. That would then actually bookend the university with two centers, one on the new complex at East Hill, which probably could fill just from the people that are over on these today. Not be so complex, but would be obviously the same thing, available first come, first serve. So we have to get this one built and paid for first, but that's our goal. And I feel a little more nervous about moving that one forward sooner with ECC closing. Mm-hmm. So,
and then also in the area of child care, something that I heard Cousins were trying to incorporate, and you mentioned this too. Incorporating child care
building.
Centers into buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit too late for the projects we have going now for like some
reason. I just am not. I don't think that's going to happen. The physical science of buildings full.
Yeah.
And anyway, where those buildings are stuck, there's no green space. And you have to get these things licensed. There has to be a place for the kids to go out and play. It has to be fenced. You can't have any hood emissions, so you can't have any laboratories anywhere near it. And so I think it's great that he is at least continuing to ask that question. But realistically, I was thinking that maybe we could, you know, if there was any space, Do you have like drop-off space or vacation space, you know, for stuff like that for school-age kids? Because then the accreditation's not, you don't have those problems once they get to school age. But he continues, the best thing we have from him is he just doesn't let it drop. So it's less about what the answer is and more about the fact that it's starting to sink in that the president wants child care to be addressed. So that's a good thing.
So I think one thing I heard about the child care center over in the ALAP, I think the reason why they're addressing the parking a little bit is because they're afraid, I've heard they're afraid that the child care center is going to take off like West did, the buildings all pop up, now there's absolutely no place to park. So, you know, I think that's
But it's not on ALAP. Yeah. It's really important for people to understand the child care center is taking nothing from ALAP. It's to the side of ALAP. Especially not to the side of ALAP, as the mayor reminded me right before Christmas, because we don't have permission yet to build it there. Our proposal that we will be bringing in the appropriate consensus based way to the village of Cayuga Heights is that it be built over to the site. So really the only, it's just this little line of drop off for the cars that will be there. And the students, I guess, and the physical education people are upset because they play frisbee on the lot that way. But, you know, what can I tell you? Sorry. I mean, it's a valid point. I keep saying to people, it's a very valid point, but people need child care, and they want it on the campus, and, you know, I don't... You know, unless I can figure out a way to put a child care center on stilts and lay it over the top of this campus, there's just no other place. I mean, we looked everywhere. Exactly. Hovercraft. You know, we could put them on buses and just move them constantly. Your kid is at stop A. Hurry! We're only here for 3 more minutes. So anyway, yes, that's where we are. The immediate issues I need to talk to you all about is Aetna. If you have the Aetna plan, you may have noticed that we have physicians leaving the Aetna network. This was prompted because we have two health plans: Health Now on the Endowed side, Health Now. And Aetna. And Aetna then has two choices, the 80-20 plan and the PPO. And our employee population is split about half and half. Half in the two Aetna plans and half in Health Now. Ithaca College made the decision to drop the Health Now plan, so they only offer Aetna. One of the oddities about employer-sponsored health plans is that employers actually are not allowed to know how much the insurance company pays the doctors. Even though we pay the bill, we're a self-insured plan, which means if you go to the doctor and it costs you $120, you pay $12, we pay $138, right? Even though that's the truth. It's not an insured plan, you know, we pay the bill. I mean, we don't pay it like that, we don't know that it's the doctor. But it's a direct pass-through to, from Cornell to the doctors. We are not allowed to know the rates that are negotiated between the insurance company and the doctor, or the insurance company and the hospital. It's a vestige from the old insurance world. So, we did notice that our Health Now population, you couldn't help but notice, which is our healthiest population, was costing us about the same as our Aetna population. But in the absence of all the information, you can't really figure out why. And one of the things that we'd always assumed is that we had our younger population in Health Now, which means they're having children, and that's an expensive population. So we just thought maybe it was offsetting. Well, apparently, when Ithaca College put everybody into the Aetna plan, the doctors did the math, and we found out that way that Health Now is paying way more to the doctors than Aetna was. And so the doctors looked at it, and it was a net loss of income. And they said, well, we want an increase from Aetna. And so Aetna, you know, looks at their book of business, says, look, we're paying you a fair rate. We're not going to pay you anymore. And so we're in a tangle. And we're caught right in the middle. Because, you know, Aetna has to represent, they have rules. I mean, they can't pay to one population without it getting to another population. So, you know, they're trying to manage their rate of, you know, reimbursement as it relates to the rate of reimbursement. And I don't know, you know, Oshkosh. So we have about three or four physicians groups that have dropped out of the Aetna network. The most notable, they're all, I think, all specialties. The most notable of the specialties is stromature, the only ear, nose, and throat specialty we have in the community. So, well, it's everybody, but he's the only ear, nose, and throat man in the area. So there's an outcry, and also the OBGYN, I think. The Ithaca OBGYN, the one that's, I think, over like by convenience care.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two kind of most notable. A number of them dropped out and then went back. So we are beginning to hear complaints. They all informed their patients that they were leaving the Aetna network before the end of the year. But people don't pay attention to that until they need them, right?
Mm-hmm.
What that means is if you're in one of our plans, you can still go there, and they will still take care of you, and you will still have your Aetna coverage, but it's out-of-network coverage. So if you're in the 80-20, you're just in the 80-20, but if you're in the PPO, what that means is that you get a lower reimbursement. I think it's 80%, 70 or 80% of the cost of coverage. You pick up the rest. That's a minor problem in comparison to the fact that if they drop out of the network, they're not required to bill at any agreed upon rate. So in Strominger's case, he wants an enormous increase. He is then free to turn around and bill the rest of that to you. And you have to pay it. So up to your maximum. So there are plenty of other ear, nose, and throat specialists in Elmira and other areas, and so we're going to try to publicize your other choices. But, you know, quite frankly, that's a big inconvenience, and people are not going to be happy with it. So I'm just letting you know we're caught right, we are really stuck right in the middle of this mess. We've looked at what, I will tell you privately, that we've looked at what Strominger's asking for. We cannot find another physician in the country that makes what he's asking for. So we aren't going to pressure Aetna to pay him that. His view is not an unreasonable view. He's the only game in town, and, you know, his view is that he's worth a really lot of money for that convenience. So we have a bit of a problem. Right now, it's pretty contained to just those two specialty areas. We don't know what will happen. The whole Aetna network comes up for review with CAP again in March. So it could get worse in March, maybe not. But it is beginning. People are beginning now to realize it. You know, kids have ear infections that aren't going away. The pediatrician refers them to Strominger. They have Aetna. Aetna's not. The first thing they tell them when they say they've got Aetna is we're not the Aetna network, and then we're starting to get this high-pitched panic coming back. So,
did they send out notice prior to our open enrollment or at the end of open enrollment?
Well, they did, but here, and we almost sent out a notice prior to open enrollment. See, we were in a very different spot than Ithaca College because people actually could go into Health and Al. And we almost sent a notice out. I don't know how much of this I should really tell you guys. I'm going to be like, but Health Now is not the greatest health company right now, and so we didn't really want to push people, and they're obviously paying an exorbitant amount to these doctors. So we were afraid that that people would think we were saying go to Help Now and we have problems with Help Now. And so at the end of the year, almost all the doctors who had gone came back. And the doctors that weren't going to come back did notify their patients before the end of the year, but people just didn't pay attention, or they weren't patients. Like Strobinger is a specialty. You might not need to go to him until you need to go to him. So obviously you wouldn't have gotten that notice. And you can still go. And in many cases, the balance bill may be nothing. You know, maybe 10 more bucks. But we have no control. Once they're out of the network, we have no control over the rates they charge.
Who's responsible for recruiting new ear, nose, and throat specialists into the community? Is that something the Chamber of Commerce does?
No, CAP is our Cayuga Area Physicians Group. And, you know, they have difficulty. I mean, this is not like greed. I'm not sure about Strominger, but even there, I wouldn't say it's greed. Doctors make their money on two bases. Their price per unit and volume. And we are not growing. Like, it's not like they can get more. Like, if you're in a city, you always have a certain percentage of steerage. And if you get a new, doctor or you have something new that you can advertise, you can get more people in. So you can increase your compensation on the basis of new patients. But here, that's not really true. So they have a kind of a stagnant compensation here, basically. So if you're not able to increase it this way, and then your per unit cost, charge essentially goes down, you're actually losing money. And their cost in their offices continues to go up. Every time we add a new health plan, they have to, they have to deal with new forms, new rules. How many of you, when you used to go in, well, you're a lot younger than I am, but when I used to go into my family doctor, there was the family doctor and the nurse picked up the phone. Mm-hmm. Now, they have a whole staff they have to pay. Well, almost all of those people are in some way or another managing insurance stuff. So it isn't as though they're just being unreasonable. I mean, they have a real issue here. And I don't know.
I will say now that in Stroke County, it's like I just long distance.
Yep. Yes, he really does. And, I don't know to what extent they've tried to bring in others. What they tell us is that they do try and that they're just not successful. People don't choose to bring their, to bring their practices. Because dermatology is the other area where we're really, really short.
They're like two or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and if Dr. Horn keeps threatening to retire.
Yeah, right.
I know. That's what I keep and actually, we're short on pediatric specialties. So it's just for you to know. There's not a whole lot we can really do about it. We continue to hope that for April we'll have better agreement with them. We sort of are victims of this because they're really mad at Ithaca College, which I find kind of amusing because they're always mad at us. But just kind of mad at them.
Appreciate that.
On the good news side, if you haven't been to Cayuga Medical Center, they just opened their new emergency room. It is fantastic. Have you had any reason to go?
I had to bring someone there last week.
Isn't it amazing?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, they have a cardiothoracic area, intensive care area, around the other side of it, too. And it's just fantastic. I mean, it's facilities in comparison to what they have.
It was also full that night. I don't know how that was.
It's always full.
It's always full.
Yeah, it's always full. And that is in some part because of the way our doctor care, physician care is done here. We have no clinics. In a city, there's clinics that run, and they're actually run by the physicians, but we don't have any of those. So everybody, after the hours of their physician, has to go to, and if it's after convenience care closes, you have to go to the emergency room. That's where your doctor will send you. So
it's just, if you haven't, I mean, I know nobody will have gone towards the emergency room. I haven't got anything to do with it, just go towards the emergency room. But it is really, really nice and really state of the art, and we're really lucky. In a community our size, we are really lucky to not only have that emergency room, but also the cardiothoracic intensive care. Yeah.
What do we have? I'm not going to call it what it is. Communication committee meeting.
Well, what is it? What's in the plane?
No, just now. Com. She laughs at that as well, not the communication.
We don't call it that anymore. Oh, I feel good.
We had a meeting, the communication committee and myself, and I had brought forward to them the idea of a frontline staffing. And once we threw the ideas around the back and forth, the consensus was that we were going to go forward with the original plan, like the Chili Chats, but we were going to call them Leadership Luncheon.
Okay.
It's
not a bad name, right? Leadership Luncheon.
Going to
call it like
Lala. No, she's making fun of me.
Lala.
I thought she'd get around to my rap.
Amoma.
Right? Rap? Remember Leadership Rap?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Soup sandwich.
Yeah.
We also talked about the three questions again, and we decided to stay with the original questions. Except rewording the second one, like you had suggested, Mary, about what are the biggest obstacles you face when approving vacation times for your staff. Mm-hmm. So we reworded it like mm-hmm. you had suggested, because it's more pointed to what we wanted. I also made a suggestion to Donna earlier that we move the timeline so that we can get a definite ending, a successful ending, out further. So that the first one would be in March instead of having our first one in February.
Okay.
The Statler, due to budget crunches, and the Statler is very expensive, even though I think it was the nicest one with the tablecloths and the napkins. Mm-hmm. But we have to keep a budget mindset. So the first one will be in March at Geneva. The second one will be in April 10th at Appel, and that will be the breakfast one so that we can hit second and third shift.
Okay.
And the fourth one, we don't have a date. We have two tentative dates, April 30th or May 1 for Willard Street.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
So that's what we came up with.
And we're still putting together the format of what those will look like. But do you want to talk about that? We kind of talked about that in our last meeting, but it's...
Similar to what we had before the show chat, you'll do an intro, 5 minutes or so, saying whatever you say, and then we're going to do an intro where we're going to review our findings again, because we're not going to see that all the throughout. Mm-hmm. I've had a chance to review the show chat documents. So we're going to have like a PowerPoint presentation where we go over the major points that we discovered so they can see what staff had to say. And then we'll have the questions, but instead of having the big papers and write them out, each one will have a little paper and all. A few minutes to answer it. We're hoping to get more answers back that way. And then we'll have a longer discussion time where they'll be able to, each table have a chance to call up one or two of their answers and have some chance to discuss those answers. And then we'll have a more general discussion time where we're hoping the supervisors will throw out what they're already doing as ideas, so the other supervisors can get some ideas and we can get ideas and give them a chance to talk to you and have some of their questions answered.
When did you say the last one would be?
April 30th or May 1st, depends on when we can get word.
So let's think about timing. Should we take the president up on his offer to have another open forum?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's on the town hall meeting, we're calling it.
Do you want it? Can we do that after? It would be, don't you think it would be better if it was done after? You don't want it done in the middle of those. That's kind of weird, right? Because you're right in the middle of
those. So the fact that it's too close to commencement and all that stuff, if we do it in May?
Well, it can't be the end of May, but right. You got like May 15th or something like that, or that area maybe. Because then I'm wondering if by then you'll have the different feedback, if that would give you a sense of how to approach the question and answer period with him.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea, and I had that there to talk to you about. And if you don't think that's too late, like getting too close to his commitment for,
you have to have Patrick's school about his calendar, but it would otherwise, I mean, you know, really, we can have an open forum with the staff. The staff don't go anywhere, you know. Well, actually, that's not true. The food service workers, you know, do leave.
Yeah,
so it would be good if you could do it before they left. When that's got it, so that's got to be like next week in May.
All right. So do you think in general that timeline will work, that March, April, May kind of sequence? Okay.
Because we can still compile the information. You had mentioned about Donna presenting the results of both of them to the
senior staff. Yes. The President's Council probably won't. That won't work for the President's Council until fall.
Right.
So the senior staff, if you had senior staff, and because you could do senior staff after the year. That doesn't make any difference, right? So you could do senior staff in the summer, and then you could do President's Council in the fall.
Okay, and then two, by having all of those wrap-ups and all that stuff by mid-May, it feeds into my trustee report.
Right.
So that was kind of a little statement from that day. Mm-hmm. How does that sound to everybody?
What were those dates again? Geneva remained March 19th?
Yes.
And Statler?
Statler is
gone. Oh, just gone.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So March 19th will be Geneva.
Uh-huh.
April 10th will be Appel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the breakfast one.
Okay.
And then the other one, we don't have the date yet. It's either going to be April 30th or May 1st, and it's going to be at Willard Street.
Okay.
Exactly.
I know
that.
Well, it's got to be down by May 1st, because then I start doing an executive
call. Yeah. And there's also slope dates in some places, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. So after May 1st. That Friday or the Friday after.
The other reason that we were pushing you out of it was, of course, because of budget stuff, because people are asking for to build certain account numbers for room rentals and things like that, and our budget is in the dire straits.
And the cost of renting spaces on campus, of course, has gone up, and you can't have a concrete time in the, like Statler, I mean, they, you know, they're booked constantly without giving them an account number.
Right.
And our budget's already in the red, and to plan something that is that expensive added to a red to make it worse is just...
Well, why don't you get your budget together and give it to me, and I'll take it up to David, and we'll see where we can turn your place.
We have a meeting with both of you next week. Is that a good time?
Well, we do, but I will tell you that apparently next week is... He was... I don't really know if you want me to, but he was sick while he was in India.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so I'm just not really sure when next week's going to end up. He comes back on the 15th, so he may not
okay.
be able to come on the 17th. Well, but if you have the, just, you know, if you get the budget together and give it to me between, maybe between him and I.
Great. Well, Pat has already prepared that. We kind of reviewed it in our last meeting.
Okay, so somebody just sent the one to me.
Great.
Unfortunately, the Office of Human Resources isn't a whole lot different than the University Assembly House in terms of our budget.
I know.
We're working off of, we're meeting this year's budget by spending all of our reserves.
Yeah, I know how that works too.
But I keep saying, you know, I don't have any reserves next year, so like, what do I do now?
We do the same thing. And then the other discussion we had at our executive committee meeting was around communication and advertising the leadership luncheon. And we were trying to come up with a way to sort of target those managers and supervisors people. And we thought about the idea of a DDD letter. What do you think about that?
Well, it's just that the DDD is, first of all, I have no confidence in that mailing list at all. We've tried to update it. We have an electronic one, but it only hits like 50 people.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like truly that the dean, you know, level. But the DDD that we have that's like 500 people or something, it's like by name, because we still don't have the ability to identify supervisors by title yet.
So if you change jobs or you got a promotion between when we estimate, you know, it's just pretty holy. Do you know what I mean?
Well, full of holes.
That's
a polite way to say it.
So we can, but I have no objection to sending it. It just shouldn't, like, we use it for things. So just so long as you don't rely on it,
well,
it doesn't hurt.
We're sort of bringing to love what I sort of question mark there. So I didn't know what else. How else to get to that group?
Besides that, well, yeah. If you're going to stick with your original plan, I would just open the couple sizes.
And
do the
paw print,
do paw print, flash in the DVD.
Why are you grinning like that? It doesn't look good.
No, no paw print?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I
know. I thought he was about to yell at me.
I know I was waiting.
You are not allowed to
promulgate paw.
I think, you know, with, because you kind of stuck with that original design, I'm not really sure that it matters that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can say our goal is to further the conversation with those who not only have, you know, vacation scheduling issues of their own, but also grapple with them for those who report to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then let people self-select, and those who come who don't have anybody reporting to them, then that second question, you know, they could answer it as if they did, or they could
mm-hmm.
not answer it, or,
mm-hmm.
you know.
All right.
You said DVD, that's just names, you don't show the email, I just know like that.
We don't have the big DVD list by email address, apparently.
Is that something that you kind of have to keep yourself, because I mean, we can run a report or items to grab from the warehouse to get all the information. We can have an email list of the DVD that we could use.
Could you ask Betsy, at the risk of, this is sort of like scratching an open wound for me. I have no idea why it is so hard for me to be able to communicate with the supervisors on this campus, and
mm-hmm.
it's been 3 years, and I still have an old DVD list. So if you can find out, this would be wonderful. But we just mailed out the employee night, or whatever we call that thing,
oh,
the winter thing. And I said, well, let's go ahead and use the electronic DVD for this. And Doug was a doggone thing popped back in my inbox as a hard copy. And I'm like, And Betsy said apparently we still didn't have it in a way that they could elect. But so we talked to her. And we can do a better job of it electronically. I'm happy to give it a shot. I just don't think anybody reads anything they get in a hard copy anymore.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? We're like down to 5 minutes. Does anybody else have anything for Mary?
This is only tangentially related to what you were talking about with the child care centers, but do you have a sense of how many buildings are planned for the East Hill Plaza?
The one that's going up and another one, I think. They call it the generic office building, and then I think they're looking at one more that'll be primarily for technology. That's what I've heard anyway.
And is there a sense about how many hundreds of people will be working at the East Hill Plaza?
Hundreds, right? Because you've already got hundreds out there.
Yeah, so potential of about 1,000 people, I think.
Yeah, between the offices,
You know, you figure it'll be like a whole other campus.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't have, you know, teaching going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that conceptually it's sort of like a little mini Thornwood Broadway kind of thing.
Corporate park.
Yeah, but we still want to keep, of course, the retail of East Hill Plaza, you know, but yeah, with the offices and stuff and like that. And you can get your car washed.
Sure.
I think Thornwood's nice. We went up there from our last communication meeting. It's very nice up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Thornwood, it won't have much Cornell stuff in it as well.
Yeah.
It's great rental property, and it's just not really worth putting in, you know, administration out there, because you can rent it for so much more to businesses, and that space is perfect for small business. So in the long run, the goal is to get out of Thornwood, have that be really truly be the technology park, and move what is there onto the East Hill campus.
I don't live here. I didn't even know it was there.
It's really nice out there. But those kinds of revenue opportunities for the institution are exactly what we need to start to do, so that we can, you know,
pay for the new building.
We can pay for all of us.
But yeah, I have a, well, we have two of our areas out there. We were going to go over actually to the East Hill building, but I didn't. It's a generic building, so it's open floor plan. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm sorry, but I don't think anyone wants to go over and talk about their health problems or their employment problem in a cubicle. So we just could, they couldn't build it to our specs, and it seemed ridiculous to take another part of HR out there, and they wanted us to move benefits out. And I don't want to move benefits out. I just feel like benefits should stay here. Yeah, so they had other people ready to go, so they were like, get out of the way.
You know, we're okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else for me?
Just a general question that someone asked me and I didn't have an answer. They're job hunting. Is there actually a person that they can talk to?
There is someone if they qualify for the program we call Quest, which is if you are at least satisfactory, in other words, you're not having any performance, this is an employee.
It's a spouse. Well, no, they are an employee. I'm sorry, they are an employee.
Well, if they're spouse or someone not employed here, they can go right to the employment office, and there's someone there that will see them. If it's a Cornell employee looking for transfer, we have a program called Quest, and Deb Phillips is the person that can help them. If they're looking, if they either don't want to apply to Quest, because if you apply through Quest, you have to tell your supervisor, and not everybody wants to do that. Mm-hmm. If they just want some help, then Joanne Shepherd can help them, like, get their resume ready and figure out how to use the online application and things like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry you don't feel well. To everybody who's sick over in the country, talked about it, you know, during the year, which is fine.
Yeah.
I might have to go to the doctor.
We don't need the ear, nose, and throat.
You know.
Are you on
it? Yeah. Uh-oh. Sorry about that. I know.
I don't remember that workshop in the doctor. We have to file for over time this doctor.
We need to recruit an ear, nose, and throat specialist who has a spouse who's a faculty member.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be.
Well, there are doctors in Elmira.
And I think in Cortland,
I wonder if there's any way to get them to schedule a day or two.
Well, Guthrie will do that. Guthrie will do that, but I don't know if who's on their ear, nose, and throat.
You know, it's such a drag. They have such kind of soccer kind of stuff.
You know that now, under health now, you don't need a primary care anymore.
That's nice.
Well, you need a primary care, but you don't need a referral anymore.
I see, I transferred all my doctors up here, even though I live down by Guthrie. Every time I had a doctor's appointment, you know, I would make it really early in the morning, then I'd drive here to work after the doctor's appointment. So I transferred everything up here, so now I just drive off the hill.
That way.
To
so
the Guthrie though, you stayed with Guthrie?
No.
No.
I worked there for many years, so.
No too much?
Yeah.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.